In today's podcast, we are going to review the introduction to Mary, Providential Earthly Mother of God. If you have a book, kindly turn to page 5. This lesson will take us to page 9. If you prefer to simply listen, we will be reading the scripture that applies to our lesson, so follow along in your Bible. I will be reading from the New International Version, or NIV translation, of the Bible. I encourage you to take notes in your Bible or in a separate notebook. Let's begin with prayer. Dear Lord, as we gather together today to study your word, let your Holy Spirit open our hearts and minds to the truths in your word as you teach us about Mary. Thank you for allowing us the freedom to gather as sisters around your word. Be with those who cannot gather, provide for them in other ways, and give them strength in the promises given to us in our Savior, Jesus. Amen. God first mentions Mary some 700 years before Jesus is born. Turn to Isaiah chapter 7, and let's read verse 14 together. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Isn't that amazing? Especially when we consider the entirety of God's salvation plan, which began in the Garden of Eden. This perfect plan required a human, a woman, an obedient servant. Unfortunately, this has caused humans to focus, at times, more on Mary than on her more important role as a servant of God. Some want Mary to be more than just a servant. It has created a chasm among believers and non-believers. Mariology is the study of and beliefs concerning the Virgin Mary. Luther was one of those people who spent considerable time focusing on Mary and Marian theology, including the Magnificat. We will explore the dichotomy this creates: quiet respect for Mary versus exalting her to one with divine attributes. This is the crossroads, where the proverbial rubber meets the road. What happens when Mary is exalted as divine? It denies Jesus, the Messiah, Savior of the world, the central place of honor. However, ignoring her robs us as believers and women of so much, as Mary's story has so much to teach us as women of God. Outside and within certain sects of the Christian church, there are those who use Mary and the circumstances surrounding the virgin birth as one of the foundational principles of their unbelief. Agnostics and atheists believe Mary was not a virgin at the time Jesus was conceived. Their beliefs hinge around human reason, that Mary was not a virgin. She had a relationship with someone other than Joseph, and that she created this story to prevent her from her own death, which would have been her punishment during this time in history. Other thoughts come from those who view the Bible with a historical critical assumption. Follow me as I read on page 6. Any account in the Bible that contains supernatural content is fiction and not fact, and God did not inspire the writers of biblical books by giving them the exact words to write down. Those who subscribe to this approach maintain that miracles recorded in the Bible are merely the reports of superstitious people with scant scientific information. The historical critical assumption further asserts that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did not write the Gospels that bear their names, but individuals who never knew Jesus personally and who lived decades after his earthly ministry penned these Gospels. This is a way to create human reason around the miracles or supernatural phenomenon that occur in the Bible. Karl Broughton, a contemporary theologian, talks about how the incarnation of a human using a virgin is a myth and cannot be explained by modern science. It is merely a symbol, not truth. Well, hello, Karl. We're talking about God here. Luther and his colleagues staunchly refuted this theology and extensively wrote about it in the Formula of Concord, the Augsburg Confession, and in Luther's Small Catechism. If you are a confessional Lutheran, we share this belief, particularly in the virgin birth, during worship every week, using the Apostles and Nicene Creeds. Why should we care? Because the historical critical assumption is being taught in some liberal seminaries and professed from some pulpits. In Ephesians 6, verses 13 to 15, Paul writes, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." In addition to the Bible, dive into the large and small catechisms, the Formula of Concord, and the Augsburg Confession. These are the documents, based on the Bible, used to teach us how to defend the faith. So in summary, we must not focus on our human reason to explain how God decided to come to earth. We must trust and believe what God tells us in His holy, inerrant Word. Why is this important for us to discuss today? As witnesses, this may be one of the big hurdles we may face when sharing the gospel with unbelievers. It was so important to Paul that in his final letter, shortly before his death, written to the young pastor Timothy, he exhorts him with these words. Turn to 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17, and let's read these words. "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now back to Mary, the servant of God chose when He came to earth in human form. Turn to page 8. Let's spend a few minutes discussing the four questions on the page. If you like, turn to the answer key on page 105. If you're doing this session as a group, stop the recording now and take a few minutes to discuss these questions together. Question number 1. What are some concepts about Mary, in particular how she is revered, that have shaped your knowledge of her? While acknowledged as the Virgin Mother of Jesus in Lutheran churches, Mary is seen as a servant of God. She was a servant who should be respected for her faith under the amazing and at times unbelievable circumstances. Growing up, many of us introspectively thought, "What would I do if faced with similar circumstances? Would my faith in God be strong enough to accept and follow the path laid out for Mary by the angel Gabriel?" The conclusion I and others repeatedly came to was no, and I would search for ways to strengthen my faith using Mary as an example. And one day, coming to the life-altering conclusion that there is nothing we can do, through God's grace, He has done it all. Paul wrote to the Corinthians about pleading for God to take away his thorn in the flesh. He shares how God replied, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. What a relief to know God, in His perfect plan, has done it all. As weak humans, we frequently need to remind ourselves of this. Giving and showing divine reverence to Mary was not something I even thought about until I became an adult and interacted with other Christians within denominations that do revere her. Question number 2. What are some concepts about Mary that you do not believe, in particular, how she is revered, that have shaped your knowledge of her? In a nutshell, Mary is not a God whom we should venerate and ask to intercede for us. She most likely did not remain a virgin after the birth of Jesus. She was human and a sinner who needed a Savior. We will explore these beliefs and others to evaluate for ourselves how these tenets stand up to scriptural scrutiny. As a disclaimer, I acknowledge other people's beliefs and in no way want to give the impression that these non-scriptural viewpoints categorically disqualify them from possessing saving faith in Jesus. My goal is not to ignite a doctrinal war, but to use the inspired Word of God to find truth. God will have the final say. See what he says as you open your Bibles to John 3, verses 16 to 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Question number 3. Have you ever participated in an in-depth study about Mary? This is my first in-depth study of Mary. After all the research and compiling this book, what I have found is that one could spend a lifetime studying her. At times, the research was a bit overwhelming. I pray what I learned and shared will not discourage you, but add to your scriptural knowledge of Mary, specifically as a servant of God and someone he used in his salvation plan. More importantly, I hope what you learn about Mary draws you closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we will learn, this is what Mary would want. Question number 4. If you've participated in an in-depth Bible study on Mary previously, what did you learn in that study? Hopefully, the study will add value to what you've previously studied. If there is something that you would like to discuss with me that seems out of step scripturally, please don't hesitate to contact me at sistersexploringtheword.com. Question number 5. Many songs written about Mary touch our hearts during Advent and Christmas. What are some of your favorites? If you turn to page 107 in your books, you will see a list of hymns from Christian Worship 21 that relate to Mary. One of my very favorite songs about Mary is Amy Grant's Breath of Heaven. That's not found in a hymnal. The story surrounding Amy Grant's recording that song is very interesting. I encourage you to go online, search for Breath of Heaven, and read about and listen to the recording of that song. As a brief summary of the book, our study will take us through some familiar territory with the New Testament accounts of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. We will also explore the Old Testament prophecy of Mary and the virgin birth. We will uncover the biblical and historical ancient Jewish beliefs of the culture in which Mary and Joseph lived. With this knowledge, we will learn how God shaped a woman who would play a central role in the narrative of the promised Messiah. Our path will follow Mary through her pregnancy, childbirth, and 34 years of mothering the Son of God. This route will take us to the agony Mary experienced at the foot of the cross as her son died the most gruesome death. But we will see that as Mary watched and witnessed this ghastly event, she knew in her pondering heart this was only the beginning. And we will observe a very small bit of her life as she reveled in the glory of the resurrected Jesus. In the final section of our study, we will take a look at the historical evidence surrounding the death of Mary herself. So I welcome you on this journey. With prayerful humility, let us open our hearts and minds to God and learn from His scriptures, and in particular, the life of Mary, who herself proclaimed, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Luke 1, verse 48. Let's close our session today with prayer. Dear God, thank you for this time and your word. We humbly ask for your blessing as we begin to pursue a study on Mary, the servant you chose to be the earthly mother of Jesus, our Redeemer. Help us to be discerning in our study and to remember that your servants are only to be praised for the work they do in pointing to you, our ever-present, loving, and faithful Savior. In your name we pray. Amen.